Welcome to this Ableton Live 12 lesson on building a subsigned blend for rewind-worthy DNB drops. In this session, we're not just trying to make the bass louder, we're building a low-end system where the sub stays clean, physical and mono, while the mid-bass brings the jungle energy, movement, and attitude. That balance is what makes a drop feel heavy without turning into mush. A live intermediate producers get stuck on the idea that the drop needs more sound design, more layers, more distortion, more everything. But in drum and bass, especially jungle-leaning or darker roller-style tracks, the real power often comes from restraint. The best drops usually have a clear job split. The sub anchors the floor, the mid-bass gives character, and the drums do enough smart work that the whole thing feels bigger than the sum of its parts. So let's think like a drum and bass engineer and a composer at the same time. First, set your tempo somewhere around 170 to 174 BPM. If you want that classic jungle pressure, 170 to 172 is a sweet spot. If you want a slightly more modern roller feel, 174 is a strong default. Then organize your project into three main groups: drums, bass, and effects or atmos. That might sound basic, but it matters a lot. In fast music, organization is not just for housekeeping. It helps you process the low end as a system instead of as a chaotic pile. Inside the drums group, keep your core elements ready: kick and snare, a chopped break or loop, and some percussion or tops. In the bass group, create separate tracks for sub and mid bass, and maybe a texture layer if you want one later. This separation makes it much easier to shape each layer with intention. Now let's build the sub. On the sub track, load operator and use it as a clean sine source. Keep it disciplined. This is not the place for flashy timbre or wide movement. Set oscillator to a sine, keep the voice count at 1, and use only a small amount of glide if you want tiny slides between notes. Usually, a short glide in the 20 to 60 millisecond range is enough to add some movement without sounding sloppy. Write a simple bass phrase. 1 bar or 2 bars is enough. Keep it mostly to root notes and maybe one passing note. Don't overplay the sub. In DNB, a great subline often feels like it's doing less than it could. That space is part of the power. You want note lengths that feel deliberate and punchy. Not too long, not too short. Roughly 80 to 250 milliseconds can work depending on the groove. If the notes are too long, the rhythm smears. If they're too short, the sub won't feel weighty enough. After operator, add saturator. Just a little drive is enough, maybe 1 to 4 dB. Turn soft clip on if needed. That adds density and helps the sub read on smaller systems without turning it into a distorted mess. Then add utility and keep the width at 0. The sub should be mono. No exceptions here. Next comes the mid-bass layer, and this is where the subsign blend really starts to take shape. You can use Waveedable or another operator instance depending on the color you want. If you want more movement and quicker shaping, Waveedable is a great choice. Build something that feels like a sine or near sine body with harmonics around it, not a giant saw wall. That's the key. We want it to reinforce the pitch of the sub, not compete with it. One good route is a restyle patch in Waveedable. Two saw-like oscillators, a little detune, a small amount of unison, then a low-pass filter with a bit of drive. Keep the detune modest. If it gets too wide or too thick, it starts stepping on the sub and the drums. Another route is a sine forward growl layer. Start with a clean or nearly clean oscillator, then add saturator, a little redux if you want edge, and auto filter for motion. Either way, this layer should feel like the character of the bass, not the foundation. A good starting chain is a Q8, saturator, auto filter, and maybe a compressor if the layer needs consistency. High pass this layer somewhere around 90 to 120 Hz so it clears space for the sub. Then use the filter and saturation to give it shape. For the filter, something like a 200 to 500 Hz cutoff range can be a solid place to start, depending on the note and the energy you want. Keep resonance moderate. Too much resonance and the bass starts sounding peaky instead of powerful. Now let's connect the sub and mid bass musically. This is where the phrasing matters more than the sound design. In DNB, low end often works best when it feels conversational. The sub and the mid bass don't need to hit every note in exactly the same way. In fact, it's often better if they don't. Try this approach. Let the sub hit the main downbeats and the key syncopated moments, while the mid bass answers with shorter notes, pickups, or sustained tension notes. Leave a little hole before the snare so the drum crack can land cleanly. That space is not empty, it's part of the groove. For example, in 1 bar, the sub might hit on beat 1 and then move again before beat 3. In the next bar, the mid-bass might answer with a short slide or a held tone, while the sub returns to the root. Then on bar 4, you can pull both layers back slightly before a fill. That kind of phrasing makes the drop feel intentional and dynamic instead of busy. Use the clip view to fine-tune note lengths. Use velocity to shape the feel. And if you want a little swing, use the groove pull carefully. But don't overdo it. In this style, the drums should usually own the swing feel. Let the bass lock in with them rather than fighting for attention. Now shape the drums around the bass. This is a big one. In drum and bass, the drums and the bass are not separate departments. They're part of the same machine. If the drums are too crowded, the low end loses impact. If they're too thin, the drop loses attitude. So aim for a break-led groove with enough structure to support the bass. A good setup is a kick and snare anchor, a chopped break or loop for movement, and some tops or percussion for urgency. You can use drum rack for layering, simpler for break chops, and even beat repeat for controlled fill moments. EQ8 is your friend here, especially for carving low end out of the break. High pass your break loop somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz so it doesn't interfere with the sub. On the drum bus, a touch of glue compressor can help glue things together. Just a little gain reduction, maybe 1 to 2 dB, with a slower attack and medium release. You want cohesion, not pumping for the sake of pumping. A really useful arrangement trick is to mute the busiest slice of the break during the first half of the drop, then bring it back in around bar 5 or bar 9. That way, the drop feels like it opens up without changing the entire groove. This kind of subtraction creates the feeling of a bigger second half. Now let's talk about sidechain and transient control. On the bass group, add a compressor or glue compressor sidechain to the kick, and possibly the snare depending on your groove. A ratio around 2:1 to 4:1 is a good starting point. Attack between 1 and 10 milliseconds. Release somewhere around 50 to 120 milliseconds. Aim for a few dB of gain reduction on the loudest hits. The idea here is not to make the bass disappear. It's to make room so the kick and snare can speak clearly. The sub should remain solid and controlled. The mid-bass can duck a bit more aggressively if needed. If the bass feels too spiky, sometimes a little saturation works better than more compression. Compression isn't always the answer. Sometimes you just need the sound to be denser. It's also worth checking the whole bass system in mono early. If the groove falls apart when summed to mono, that's a sign the width is carrying too much of the energy. Under about 120 Hz, keep things effectively mono. Use stereo width only in the upper harmonics. Now for the fun part. Automation. The rewind-worthy moments in DNB often come from control changes, not constant movement. You want the listener to feel the bass evolve, but not like it's trying too hard every second. Automate the mid-bass filter so it opens slightly over a few bars. Maybe open it 10 to 20% across bars 5 through 8. You can also automate saturator drive before the drop or add a bit of reverb or delay to specific fill moments. A beat repeat or a short delay on the last snare before a turnaround can create tension without cluttering the groove. A strong move is to automate the mid-bass into a more aggressive tone while keeping the sub untouched. That way the weight stays consistent, but the character shifts. That's what makes a drop feel like it's going somewhere. If you want to take it further, resample the best part of the bass movement. This is a very useful Ableton workflow. Route the bass group to a new audio track, record one or two bars of the best phrase, and then edit the audio directly. Now you can chop in reverse hits, stutters, fades, or tiny turnaround edits. This is especially powerful for the end of bar 8 or bar 16, where a quick resampled fill can lead back into the main groove with more impact. You can even add a little redux to the resampled layer or a very subtle frequency shifter if you want some metallic tension. Just keep it controlled. The goal is spice, not a complete rewrite of the bass. Now, a few common mistakes to avoid. Don't make the sub too busy. If there are too many notes, the weight disappears. In DNB, certainty is heavier than complexity. Don't let the mid-bass fight the sub. High-pass it properly and keep the sub mono. Don't over-process the break. If it sounds exciting soloed but weak in the full drop, it's probably stealing too much space. And don't use too much stereo on the low end. Big width can feel impressive at first, but the club system will tell the truth pretty quickly. A few pro tips before we wrap up. Keep the sub pure and dirty the harmonics above it. That usually sounds heavier than one full range bass sound. Use drum edits as bass triggers. Even a tiny ghost slice before a bass change can make the whole phrase feel more alive. And remember that short silence can be a weapon. A tiny gap before the main hit returns can make the next impact feel enormous. Here's a quick practice challenge. Build a simple 8-bar DNB drop at 172 BPM. Use operator for a sub with only a few notes total. Add a mid-bass layer with wavetable, high pass it above 100 Hz, and build a kick snare break groove around it. Then automate the mid-bass filter opening over the first four bars. Add one fill or stop at bar 5 or 7. Resample one bar. Chop a reverse or stutter into the turnaround and listen back. Ask yourself three questions. Is the sub stable? Does the drop leave room for the snare? And does the second half feel more dangerous than the first? If the answer is yes, you've got the foundation of a solid rewind-worthy D&B drop. So the big takeaway is this. A subsign blend is about rolls, not just sounds. Keep the sub clean and mono. Shape the mid-bass with controlled harmonics. Let the drums create space and tension. Use automation and arrangement contrast to make the drop evolve. That's how you get a low end that hits hard, feels detailed, and makes people want to hear it again.